When police waited outside Robb Elementary in Uvalde, Texas, for more than an hour, one mother took action. Anjali Rose Gomez ran in and rescued her two sons during the 2022 school shooting that ultimately claimed the lives of 19 children and two teachers. Her story is the focus of the documentary Uvalde Mom, screening this weekend at the Rocky Mountain Women's Film Festival at Colorado College. The film's director, Anyansi Prado, spoke with my colleague, Haley Sanchez.
What made you want to tell this story, and what did you hope the film would achieve?
I, like most of us, heard about the tragedy in Uvalde and was very moved by what happened there. As I learned more details about the community, primarily that it was a Latino working class farming community near the border, it really resonated with the type of communities that I've been documenting through my film work for over 20 years. And so I felt drawn to the people, to the place. And I set out to find a story and came across Anjali's story and decided to make the film about her and thought it was a great vehicle to also explore the tragedy and what happened that day. And my goal with making the film was to uncover specifically in Uvalde the way that systems that are meant to self-serve and protect have actually been failing our communities, specifically the most vulnerable, and in the case of Uvalde, children, and how uncovering that is important to lead to hopefully some change in the future.
So you use a lot of real footage, you know, phone videos, live streams, social media clips. Why did you choose to tell the story in that way?
Well, primarily a documentary is a film that it's all real life. So I wanted to use footage that supported the personal narratives in the film of Anjali, who's the mother that rescued her children, as well as her family and other folks in the community that are part of the film. I wanted to be able to back up their experiences with actual media documentation. So when they're talking about, for example, the cover-up that followed the shooting and authorities not being transparent about what happened and where the failure happened, that it wasn't just them saying that as people that lived in Uvalde, but that there was actually a journalistic record of the corruption that was taking place at that time. So it was important for me to have that voice. And the media also played a role, right, as a character of itself. Very courageously, many media outlets, you know, fought for transparency and still fighting for transparency from authorities. So I thought it was important to include them as part of the story as well.
How did your own background shape the connection that you have to the people in Uvalde? I mean, do you think being Latino and a filmmaker helped that relationship?
Absolutely. I think being a Latina immigrant helped with connecting with the community. And also, as I mentioned before, having made films in these areas of the country with similar communities helped me connect with them. And with that said, I also understood very clearly that I was still an outsider, that I am not from Texas, that I am not Mexican American. And so one of the things that I did was I hired a 100% Texas crew, primarily Mexican American, so that I could, in a way, fill in the gap on the ways in which I was an outsider and understand the culture and the dynamics better. But yes, I think definitely the ways in which we are connected were to my advantage as a director. And then also, I understood that it was my responsibility to also see my blind spots and see how I could tell a story that was accurate to the community.
That's really smart that you decided to hire an all-Texan crew, Mexican-Americans. What can we learn from a more thoughtful interrogation of tragedies like this that we kind of miss when we're, you know, in the news cycle and we're bouncing from one tragedy or one shooting to another?
I think what's interesting about the case of Uvalde is that the film really unpacks the history of the town and the negligence of, again, systems that are meant to care and protect for those vulnerable in the community and how they had been failing the Mexican-American community for decades. And so in a lot of ways, what happened at Robb Elementary was a culmination of discrimination and also just negligence towards the Mexican-American community and the town. And so understanding that history, I feel like it's really important so that we don't think this is just a one-off. This is just something that happened and, you know, it was not connected to the past. It actually is. And it has deep roots. And I also, you know, feel that it's important that we understand that once the media goes away, once these towns aren't in the headlines anymore, these towns have gone through this horrible tragedies, this mass shootings, that life goes on and these people's lives are changed forever in ways that will go down in generations of children, of people, of cultures, of systems that will never be the same.
And that context of law enforcement kind of stereotyping certain communities, that connection kind of extends to Anjali's own experience with law enforcement, her own distrust. You chose to include her legal troubles. She has a criminal background and that resurfaced after the shooting. Why was it important to you to include that part?
Yes, as I mentioned before, I was moved by what happened in Uvalde, and I started looking for a story, and I found Anjali's story. And what really drew me to it was learning about her criminal past and how the criminal justice system had failed her as a young woman, as a young mother, as a victim of domestic violence. And I really saw a parallel between Anjali's personal experience and the failure of law enforcement that day of the tragedy. And I just thought it was really fascinating to connect the two and to see how an individual's lives as well as an entire town's life can really change when, again, systems that are meant there to protect us and make our lives better are actually working against us.
You kind of zoom out in the film. You know, the story's not just about Anjali. You include other voices. Was that always your plan, or did you kind of evolve that?
Yeah, I definitely wanted to tell a personal story. I think the media did an excellent job in covering Uvalde and the tragedy, and there's some really amazing documentaries out there that have made by some really great journalists that I personally admire. And I wanted to tell a different story. I felt like there was room and there was space for Anjali's story told from a more intimate and personal point of view. And yet her story really is the backdrop, is the town. And it was important for me to find voices that will paint a picture of the town historically, the town today, and the town after the shooting and where people saw it heading. So, yes, but even when we were editing the film, we started with her story being sort of the vertebrae of the film and then built everything else around her personal story.
Mm-hmm. So the town is sort of a character in and of itself, and the film does show tension that's happening in Uvalde. You know, families, local law enforcement, government officials, people who are still angry and very much divided. How did you navigate that conflict?
For me, it was really important to understand that I was in a situation where people were experiencing real-time trauma, right? And that it needed to be handled with care. Like, for example, there's a scene in the film that talks about how the town begins to be divided because people have different stance on gun control and gun laws, right? And I think for me, it was more of like an exploration of documenting what happens to a town after such a horrible tragedy, especially when there isn't accountability, rather than to showing they're doing it right, or this group is doing it wrong. Like, they're all going through this traumatic moment that they shouldn't be going through in the first place, right? And so you're going to have all kinds of different reactions, some that are going to make more sense than others. And I really wanted to respect that aspect of the town, as you mentioned, as a character, that it was complex and that it needed to be handled with respect and delicately, because at the end of the day, these are a group that are going through this collective trauma that they really should have not been through. It was just a horrific incident that no human being should ever go through. And so I had a lot of compassion and empathy and care for that part of the story.
It's very evident as you watch the film, and even the film does feature children throughout. And I'm curious, dealing with that sensitivity of something that children should never experience, what are the challenges in documenting that?
One of the decisions that I made very early on is that I did not want to interview the children in the story. I wanted to tell the story through the adult's POV and through Anjali's point of view. It just felt intrusive to me, and the kids have already gone through enough. I didn't need to interview them and like relive their trauma or relive like the, you know, emotions. So that was very clear to me. And and we, you know, not just with the children, but with everyone who participated with the film, but particularly Anjali, we took some measures to care for her mental health and to care for her PTSD. And, we talked about going to certain places, like going back to the school to film or doing an interview that we did about her telling me what happened the day of the shooting. So everything was very intentional. We talked about consent a lot, and we offered mental health support. We had an on-call trauma therapist throughout the making of the film for folks, not just in front of the camera, but also behind the camera. So we were always very mindful that we were working with people that, again, were going through like real life trauma in real time.
Yeah, that's very thoughtful to have a therapist, you know, available to these folks. So Uvalde Mom, it's coming to a state, Colorado, that is no stranger to this kind of pain. You know, we've got Columbine, Boulder, now Evergreen. And I'm curious, what do you hope Colorado viewers take from it?
You know, I hope that people get a chance to see how, just again, how these tragedies impact people, individuals, families, and generations to come for decades, and how we can choose to either, you know, continue with this, or we can choose to take action and demand for our elected officials to advocate for change. You know, I believe that the film at the end of the day is meant to connect with people on a human level rather than a political level. And I hope that audiences can then draw their own opinions. But we do have a gun violence epidemic in our country today. And gun violence is the number one cause of death of children in the U.S. today. So something needs to change. You know, there's a saying that goes, if you want something different, then you have to do something different. And this has been going on for a few decades now. And so if we want a different outcome, there needs to be something done differently. And I think that's held in our laws and with legislation or public servants.
You spent a lot of time in Uvalde getting to know these people, this community. What have you learned about what real healing kind of looks like and what gets in the way of that?
I feel like the community of Uvalde definitely came together at the beginning, and they were all on the same page, and they were really, you know, healing together. But then it started to sort of fall apart. And again, I say this with the most empathy as people who just went through a horrific, who went through this horrific tragedy. And people started to separate. And it's still very much a separated community, and some people, believing that there needs to be gun laws, reform around gun laws. Some people saying, no, it's not, it's a mental health issue, that has divided not just the town, but even families. And I think, that sense of unity, that communal healing eventually started to fade away. And there's some people that say, well, let's just move on. That happened. Let's move on from the tragedy. And then you have others who say, like, no, we can't forget this. And I think they're both valid points, right? They're just people's different approach of dealing with grief and dealing with the pain of this tragedy. So I don't know that there's like a right or wrong answer. I think people are just going through the grieving process and the healing process the best that they can. And it's very human and it's imperfect. And again, it's like they shouldn't even be having to go through that process. Like, that should have never happened. And I think people are just doing their best to find healing and find closure.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Anayansi. I really appreciate your conversation.
Thank you so much for having me, Haley. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Anayansi Prado, the director of the documentary Uvalde Mom, speaking with our Haley Sanchez. The film screens at the Rocky Mountain Women's Film Festival tomorrow through Sunday at Colorado College. It's a story about one mother's bravery and a reminder that courage doesn't end when the headlines fade. On a related note, both of the students shot at Evergreen High School here in Colorado in September have now gone home from the hospital. 18-year-old Matthew Silverstone, who was critically injured, left the hospital on Tuesday.